welcome home. And this morning, I know that, you know, we've prayed, but I want us to go to Matthew chapter 13. And before I read from those verses of scripture, I want to just give a little backdrop here, of where I'm going with this message this morning. I think we all can agree that we live in an intellectual world right now. There's more knowledge. In fact, the Bible tells us that that would occur. Knowledge is ever more increasing. Some of the AI stuff, and I will be very frank with you, when I first started hearing about AI, I thought, I'm not doing that. You know, that might be of the devil. It might be the mark of the beast. You know how we used to think about this. But I want to tell you, some of this AI stuff is remarkable. I made an AI picture the other day of a guy riding a banjo, riding a Harley, playing a banjo with a Reverend collar on all at the same time. And I thought, that's me right there. You know. But it's amazing the knowledge that is out there in the world, the knowledge that is increasing. So we live in an intellectual world. We have to, you know, there's no way to deny that. But sometimes in our intellect, I believe, I'm a firm believer that we often complicate the gospel. You see, and when it comes to the gospel, we find that it is even referred to as being simple or simplistic, not in the sense that it's dumbed down, but the gospel is a message that is easily understood. Jesus was the most masterful teacher that's ever been known on the face of the earth. No argument there. He could teach in such a manner as to baffle the most educated people of his time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but at the same moment, Jesus could bring understanding to the smallest or the youngest of children. And he did so using very simplistic illustrations. We call them parables. This morning we are going to examine just one of those parables. One of Jesus' teaching moments. Simplistic enough for children, yet powerful enough to impact the mind of the most learned person in the world. I believe he could even teach Elon Musk a few things. Matthew chapter 13, as we begin reading. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell on thorns or among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Let's just skip down to verse 18. In verse 18, Jesus explains his parable. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, and what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no real root, it only lasts a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the world, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop. Think about that. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. I want to preach to you with the thought in mind this morning that of God's four rules of gardening. That's that time of year. Which, by the way, Brother Doug has been bringing garden seeds to church with him. And if you need some, I don't know what's all out there, lettuce seeds, cucumber seeds, some bean seeds, there's some out there in the foyer and they're free for you to take. But it's that time of year when people are thinking about gardening. There's people already, a friend of mine down in South Carolina posted on his Facebook page last night, he's already eating lettuce and onions and got spinach up in his garden. Of course, you know, they're well ahead of us, you know. Four rules of God's gardening. It's that time of year. We, and many of you garden, and those of us, if you like me and you gave it up many years ago, you still understand the principle of it. So I want, my first question for you, and I have a series of questions this morning, is who is the sower? In the parable, we know the sower is the farmer. The farmer is the one that is sowing the seed intentionally. And he not only sows the seed intentionally, but he's sowing the seed with great hope, such as God the farmer. Not God the Father, but God the farmer. He sows seeds into our life, and he does that intentionally. God has a great plan for every one of us in this room. Even if we have not stepped over into his plan yet, even if we have not given ourselves over to his will yet, God still has great intentions for you. In fact, he spoke through his prophet Jeremiah, and he said, I have great plans for you, plans for you to prosper. And I'm not talking about that you need to drive one of those new $150,000 Cadillac Escalades or whatever they're called now. I'm not talking about that. He may want to bless you with a Kia. But whatever God wants to bless you with. Pam got on to me the other week for harping on Kias. I was letting Fords rest, so I was picking on Kias, you know. But God wants to bless. He is intentional in his blessing, and he's intentionally sows into our life in hopes. So here the sower is anyone, if you would, or any, by any means that God is himself is using to share the word. I'm sowing this morning. I'm sowing this morning. When you share the gospel with somebody, you are sowing. So the farmer sows the seed. But what is the seed is the second question. To the farmer, the seed is hope. A seed never planted will never yield a harvest. Boy, that's profound, isn't it? A seed that is never planted will never yield a harvest. Those little bags are laying out there in the foyer. I hope somebody takes them. If you raise some lettuce, bring me, we used to call it a mess, bring me a mess of lettuce and onions because I like scalded lettuce. Y'all know what scalded lettuce is. All the thing I'll have to do is fix a pan of cornbread with it. Okay. The seeds that are out there in that foyer will never yield anything unless they are sown, unless they are planted. Thus it is with our life, our testimony. We are called to be witness. We are called to be sowers of the seed in the kingdom. Luke chapter 8 verse 11, we find there that Jesus tells us that the seed is the word of God. The word of God. The word we are saved by, the word we will live by, the word we will die by. That is the seed. That is the seed that is sown. The third element that we see is the ground. What is the ground? It's quite evident that the soil, to me, indeed represents the hearts of humanity. The soil that, and the four types of soil, or the conditions of the soil that Jesus mentions in this parable, I'm going to go to in just a moment, that represent the condition of the heart. But the soil is the heart. Because the seed is put into the soil, or the seed, the word of God is put into the heart, and from the heart is where the produce, or if you would, where the fruit comes from. So the heart, what is the heart? The heart is the soul. What is the heart? The heart encompasses the entire intellect of a person. Our hearts incorporate our knowledge. It incorporates our emotion and our convictions and such. It incorporates, when we think about the heart in the spiritual sense, in the biblical sense, it's not talking about necessarily the muscle that pumps blood throughout our body. Now there are some folks that, and I'm not disputing that, that have linked that there is something about our emotion that is connected to that physical muscle that about the size of your fist that lies in the center of your chest. There's something about your emotion and our intellect that is connected there. And I think that very well be true, but our heart is more than just that muscle that pumps blood. But our heart encompasses again our knowledge, our emotion, our convictions, our intellect, all of those things are the product or a portion of our heart. When we look at the biblical view of the heart, we can go to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. And there we find that Jeremiah says the heart is desperately wicked. In fact, one version of scripture uses this in that verse of scripture, Jeremiah 17, 9, it says the heart, it is sickening. Everybody's heart is not pure. In fact, none of our hearts are pure except through Christ Jesus. And Jeremiah went on to say this, regardless of the version, he said, no man can understand the heart. I don't know your heart, nor do you know mine. Now we can make assumptions and we can make, you know, determinations based on what we see or hear and, you know, and even the spiritual connection. But the reality of it is most of us don't know one another's hearts. The truth of the matter is sometimes we don't even know our own heart. Many times we don't even know our own heart. Jesus recorded in Mark's gospel as saying, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of those things come out of the heart. Yeah, that comes out of the fleshly nature of the heart. That's who we are. We're born into the flesh. We can't help it. We're born into sin. All these little babies running around here, let me tell you something. As they grow, they're learning to do mean things. Right, Ray Ray? So we're born into sin, and there is a sinful nature because of the fall of humanity that we're born into. And every person, the Bible declares that every person has sinned and comes short of the glory of God. But the whole issue lies within the heart, the soil, the ground, where the seeds that are intentional and sown in hope fall. Wow. So, the sower is not the difficulty here. The sower is not the problem because the Word of God is of full effect. We're receiving good seed from a good sower. So the problem must be the soil. It must be the soil. It must be the heart. The planting conditions. We already read that, but I just want to give you a brief overview before we go into the detail. The four planting conditions. The one is the wayside condition. The haphazard condition. Seeds that have just been dropped and no preparation was made. And then there was the stony soil, the rocky soil, the hardened conditions. And then there was the thorny soil, the conditions, the shared conditions as I've called it. And I'll explain that a little bit more in just a moment. And then there's the good soil, which has the ultimate preparation. Those are the four soils that Jesus used to illustrate His four rules of gardening. As we begin to dissect those four soils, gotta get caught up. There we go. The rule of the wayside soil, basically consists of this thought. The elements surrounding the wayside sowing consumed it. There was no purpose. There was no intent there. So as we begin to look at the wayside soil, this is the kind of people that never grow in their Christian life. If we're no further along the road in our Christian life than we were 20 years ago, 10 years ago, last year, even last week, or even perhaps yesterday. If we are no further along in our Christian life, if we are not growing and developing in our Christian life, I'm of the notion that we are experiencing, you know, we are the wayside soil, if you would. If you notice, there's no mention of growth at all, and there's even no mention of taking root. We find ourselves the wayside soil, or those people that they're looking, always looking for a new sower. One thing that I guess it's a pet peeve of mine, one thing that irritates me is when I hear Christian people saying, well, I just ain't getting fed. Well, maybe it's because you don't never come to the trough. Okay? You don't stay away from church for 3 months and then say, I just don't get fed. Maybe it's just because you don't go never go to the trough. Just don't say, I just don't get anything from God anymore. Maybe it's because you ain't been to the trough. You know? And the wayside soil, if you would, always looking for something, some kind of new sowers, or they're looking for a new seed. Sarah and I, most of you know, a lot of you know, we just got back off of vacation. We cruised with all of our family, had a great time Monday through Friday of this past week, and we were down in the heart of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, down at Port Everglades. There were more, I believe they have more fire trucks than any place in the world. You know, but there's something about a fire truck. Have you ever noticed that people like to, any firemen in the house? No? Have you ever noticed people like following fire trucks? They'll follow a fire truck in a heartbeat. They're wanting to see where the fire's at. Sometimes we find in our Christianity that there are people that are fire truck chasers. They're going from place to place to place looking for the next fire, and they're never satisfied. Let me tell you, God is wanting us to be rooted in ground. He's not wanting us to be in a wayward place, in a path. The agenda is self-motivated rather than kingdom inspired. It's the problem. You see, people are looking for appeasement, but never finding it. People are seeking their own agenda. They're looking for what tickles their ears. The reality of the wayward soul is this. It is more given over to what can I get out of Christianity? What can I get out of Christianity rather than what can I give the kingdom of God? And when we begin to think along those lines, then we're easily blown away and captured away. The waysiders are subject to robbery. Because in verse 19, we find Jesus said, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that is sown along the path. The rule of the wayside is the elements surrounding us will consume the seed. The second rule of gardening is this. My clicker's not clicking very good. Click for me, John. I may need batteries. Or is it froze up? I'll move along. The second, I put some wingdings in this PowerPoint. There we go. The second one is the rule of rocky ground. The rocky ground, the seed that was sown upon stony ground. The rocky ground, the rocks, listen, the rocks prevent the seed from going into the soil. And the soil is where it has to be in order to take roots. You know, it amazes me when you go along these constructions, especially road constructions, where they hydro seed and they spray that green stuff all over the banks. And you know, for a little while, there'll be grass that will grow on the rocks. That green stuff. I got some places in my lawn, in my yard, I'd like to have some of that green stuff because I can't get it to grow at all, you know. But the reality of it is, it doesn't last long. You know why? There is no place for it to take root. You see, many times in our lives, in the soil of our lives, we find that it's covered in stones. It can be stones of unforgiveness. It can be stones of anger. It can be stones of jealousy. It can be stones of self-centeredness. It can be stones of self-will. It can be stones of unconfessed sins. There can be a lot of stones that are covering our soil. And those rocks bear an offense to the seed that has fallen or sown into the ground. Those rocks are resistant. They resist the seed. The seed can't make it to where it needs to go. And this parable states that, again, no roots develop. And here's what happens. The seed will dry up and it will blow away. So what do we do if the soul is stony, if our hearts are stony, if our hearts are hardened? Well, Sarah had an aunt. She lived to be, I think, 98 years old. She was from up here on Horsepen in Tazewell County. And Lenny said, she said when she got mad at her husband, Bill, she said, I didn't argue and fuss with Bill. She said, you couldn't talk to him anyway. She said, I just went out in the field and I stacked rocks. She said, look yonder at that pile over there. And I said, that's all when I was mad at Bill, you know. But the reality of it is, sometimes we, and listen, picking up rocks is hard work. Picking up rocks is not always the fun thing to do. But many times in our life, we need to pick up the rocks that is preventing the seed to get to the soil that wants to take root for God to do the things that He wants to in our life. We need to begin to pick up those rocks and to discard them, to stack them up, to get rid of whatever we need to do to make room for the seed to come forth. So the rule of the rocky ground is the seed will blow up, will dry up, and it will blow away. We've got to get rid of the rocks. Thirdly, is the rules of the thorns. Now, right now is a perfect time for me to validate this point. Right now, I can promise you, you can go out here, you can go up here on the hillside behind the church, wherever you go, and I guarantee you, if there ain't nothing else growing, pardon my French, if there ain't nothing else growing, I'll guarantee you what already is growing is briars. Briars are growing. Briars are happening. Briars are, they will eat you up when they're young and green like this. But the thorns are identified as the cares and desires of the world rather than the kingdom of God. Again, we find that the thorns, the briars are built around self-centeredness and working towards self-gain and our goals. Briars, if you would, incorporated a me attitude. The briars, unless eliminated, will always succeed in choking out what is good. When our life is about us, when our life is all about us, as Christian followers, followers of Jesus, when our life is all about us, when our life is all about, this is what, I love, you know, and y'all know I stay on at least Facebook. I'm not on all this TikTok and Snap Clock and all that other stuff. I don't do all that, but Facebook has been a good tool for us as a church, and I'm on there a lot, and I read this meme the other day, and it was really good. It was so good, I've just now forgot what I was going to say it was, but anyway, what it was about was about us and being able to communicate, being able to put others first in our life, and that type of thing. And what in that meme, it speaks about putting God first. and allowing God to rule and reign on our life. Listen, we're not put here for our agenda. In fact, if you think your agenda is why you were put here, you will be sadly disappointed, because I found the verse of scripture that says it is appointed once unto every man, and ladies, that includes you, to die. This world at the very best is a temporary situation. We're not put here forever. We are put here, we were put here in the beginning. We were created by God, and He breathed His breath into us, and we became living souls just simply for the fact that God desired to create a creation that He could have fellowship with. And that is still His desire today, is to have fellowship with us. And us to have fellowship with Him. So when we, if we do not get rid of the briars in our life, the things that choke us out, the things that pull us down, the briar will continually overpower the seed. Have you ever noticed that weeds grow better in your garden than anything else you plant? You ever notice that? Yeah, especially thistles, for whatever reason. They grow better than anything else you can plant. Listen, if we have to maintain the garden of our Christian experience. We have to keep rid of the briars. We have to get rid of the thistles. We have to get rid of those things that will choke out the seed. The fourth rule of gardening. I think it's coming. There it comes. The rules of the good soil. The good soil produces a fruit. When we read the good soil, the good ground of preparation, it's described as someone who hears, understands, and does what the Word teaches. Yeah. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where sometimes we can know the Word, but we lack understanding of the Word. It's more than just being able to quote Scripture. It's to be able to apply the Scripture. In fact, you may not even be able to quote a Scripture, but yet you know how to apply Scripture to your life. And in all of that, we find ourselves in the rule of the soil. It's one who hears and understands and does what the Word teaches. The only way that we're going to understand the Word is to indulge in it ourselves. Read this. If you get bored reading it off of pages, listen to somebody else read it to you on here. This guy, what's his name? Alex Trebek. He'll read it to you all day long if you'll sit and listen to it, okay? But indulge yourself in the Word of God. Pray. Seek the face of the Lord. If we seek Him, we will find Him. And also indulge yourself in just exactly what you're doing this morning. Indulge yourself in the assembly of the church. You see, prepared ground yields fruit. Prepared ground yields fruit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And it also goes on to say, against those things there is no law. There is no wrongdoing in any of those things. So when we have prepared our soil, when we have not been haphazard, and when we've got rid of the stones that are covering the ground, and we've got rid of the briars that are choking out the life that the seed wants to bring forth, and we've prepared the ground of our heart, not only will we receive what God has for us, but we will become fruit producers. Somebody told me I think it was Scott Browning. Was it you that told me you didn't raise squash? Scott told me he didn't do squash. He said, you've got, when you put out squash, there's squash everywhere. I said, bring it to me, especially if it's those yellow crookneck squash. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Haul them out, fill them with cheese, put them in the oven and bake them. They're wonderful, okay? Bring your yellow squash to me. But when we prepare our hearts and God is able to bless us and He invests that seed in our lives and the hope that He has for our lives, then fruit comes forth. And as fruit comes out of our life, that fruit is suitable to bless others. That fruit will bless others. So we find ourselves in the great farmer of creation. The great farmer of creation, the Lord Jesus. He desires to sow good seed in your lives, in my life. He desires to sow good things into our life. But there is a responsibility on our part. His anticipation is to bring forth a good harvest, a great harvest from out of us. But we, you and I, have the responsibility of preparing the plot, if you would. Now, when I was a kid, you know, some life groups this morning, someone was talking about that they didn't have a whole lot when they were raised up, and you know, and I'm part of that generation. You know, my dad was born in 1930, and mom was born, I think, in 29, and mom stayed home and raised us, and daddy worked in a garment factory, a shirt factory, and so we didn't have a lot of money, but I can tell you what we did have. We had three gardens and a tater patch. We raised over 250 bushel of taters every year. We sold them. We had big old gardens. I don't know how many tomato plants we'd have. I mean, I don't know how many big old kettles of tomatoes I boiled and squeezed that skin off of them and all that stuff to canned tomatoes. You know, they was awful good in the wintertime. I'd love to have some good canned tomatoes now. Make macaroni and maters. I'm hungry. But you know, we did all those things. But you know what? I can remember one time after my mom went to work as we got older, as we got well up in our teen years. My mom went to work and she went to Montgomery Ward's. Now for you younger people, that was a store. Okay? Mama went to the Montgomery Ward catalog store and my granddaddy, he called it Monkey Ward's. And we went to the Monkey Ward catalog store and Mama took her first paycheck and bought my daddy a 5-horsepower Monkey Ward tiller. Not none of these like you got now, you walk behind someone, you know. And daddy'd say, "Boy, you need to till that way this time. And then come back on it. And then after you get done that, then you need to go this way, back and forth this way, and then go catty corner." I mean, we wore it out. I mean, that garden was just, it was just as soft and powdery as could be, you know. All the neighborhood dogs loved to just come and play in their dirt. It was just so soft, you know. But it came as a result of continuing to till the land. I date myself all the time. Years ago, some of you old people, y'all remember Kenny Henson. Some of you older people remember Kenny Henson. Kenny Henson wrote a song a number of years ago. And I would have played it this morning, but I'd have got dinged for copyright infringements on social media because we're live streaming. But Kenny Henson wrote a song. Pull it up and listen to it sometime. It's called Till the Land. It's called Till the Land. And God is calling us to till the land of our hearts, to prepare our hearts. Faye back there is a flower grower, ain't you, Faye? But you dig your flower bed up before you put them pretty flowers out, don't you? And we need to till the land of our hearts. We want all that God has for us, but we never sometimes seemingly want to make preparation. So God, I want you to tear my heart up today. God, I want you to dig the tines of your Monkey Ward tiller deep into the soil of my heart. I want you to go right to left, from north to south, and catty corner across my life. And soften the soil of my heart. God, I want you to help me to pick up every rock, to dig up every thistle, to pull up every briar, and get rid of all the hard places in my life that I may be blessed of you, but most importantly, that I may bring forth fruit. I know I gotta quit here. Forgive me. Y'all prayed a lot, so I got a couple extra minutes. Not that we had a problem with praying. But here's the reality of it. God, I need you to tear my heart up. I need you to plant your seed into my life, and I need my life to bring forth fruit. Not that I can have baskets full of fruit in my cellar or in my barn or have my freezer full, but that I may have fruit that is distributed freely to whosoever I come in contact with. Because let me tell you something. This opportunity of salvation, this whole scope of Christianity, my goal is just not to get out of this world and get to heaven. There's also, y'all, many of you know I'm a bluegrasser, okay? I've played it all, played bluegrass music all of my life. And I deeply love the music in itself. But there was an old song that said, it used to say, if mama don't go, won't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise God, I'm on my way. If daddy don't go, won't hinder me. I'm on my way, praise God, I'm on my way. Brother don't go, sister don't go. You know, and it goes on. But let me tell you something. And I can't let my experience with Jesus be hinged to whether somebody else makes it or not. I understand that. But I want to tell you something. I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want you and you and you and you and you and you and you. I want all of you to go as well. So Lord, till my heart. That I can bring forth fruit that somebody else can partake of the seed that you planted in me. Wow. Is this too deep for you this morning? Lord, I want you to plant a seed in my heart that somebody else can partake of the fruit. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Lord, it's up to you to bring the yield that you desire. But Lord, may I be prepared today. With your heads bowed for just a moment. If you're in this room and you've never been saved, I love you. I love you. I appreciate you. But your heart has not been broken. You know you need God in your life. He wants your heart to be broken for Him. It says the Holy Spirit knocks on your door this morning, knocks on your heart. Would you just listen to what He has to say, and would you allow Him to draw you, bring you into that place? Well, preacher, how will I know if my heart's ready to receive the Lord? You'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know it. You'll know it. It's that drawing. It's that urgency that you feel. I know I need to get saved. I know I need to get my life right with God. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, or maybe you're here and you've backslidden upon God and you need to make your journey back home without any embarrassment, would you just slip up your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor, real quickly. Anybody in the room, real quickly, thank you. Are there any others in this room? A few hands have been raised. Are there any others, real quickly? Those of you that raised your hand, let me tell you something. You have made the first step to break up the soil of your heart. You've made the first step to pull up the briars. You have made the first step to get rid of the rocks. But out of the rest of this congregation, the entire congregation, who here would be willing to say, God, prepare me? Remember that song we used to sing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary? That's a good song. True meaning, but He also wants to prepare you to be a garden. To bring forth 160 and 30-fold. Who will say, Lord, prepare me to be your garden in this room today? Who will say that? Better raising your hand, just stand up and say, Lord, prepare me to be your garden. To bring forth the fruit that you would have me to bring forth right now. Lord, prepare me. Break my heart. break my heart, break up the fallow ground, pick up the stones of my heart. Lord, pull up the briars and the thorns of my life. Lord, minister to me. Right now, I just want you to reach your hands to heaven. If you so choose, don't be embarrassed. Just reach your hands to heaven and say, Lord, break me. Lord, use me. Lord, I want you today to minister into my life as you see fit. Remove anything in my life and everything in my life that is not like you, Lord. Lord, may my heart be fashioned in your order. May my heart be fashioned like you. And Lord, today I commit myself to you. Especially those of you in the room that raised your hand, you needed to rededicate or you needed to be saved. Right now say, Lord, I submit my life to you. Lord, forgive me of everything in my life that would hinder me. And God, let me be a soil prepared, Lord, for the seed that you want to sow into my life. And Lord, today, let me bring forth much fruit in due season. And God, may I bless the lives of others as you would have me to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. 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 So allow God to break up the ground in your life. Let Him make you good soil. Because His seed is sown with the greatest of intention and the greatest of hope. So allow Him to use you. Amen. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like for just a minute. Amen. God is good. Lord, break up my life. Break up my hardness of my exterior.